Well, I don't know about you, but it's hard for me to believe that Easter was 2 weeks ago. For those of us in ministry and for the choir and for all the people that help prepare Easter celebrations of Christ's resurrection, it seems like we gear up, don't we? We work hard at getting ready, and then just like that, it seems like Easter is all gone. But we are resurrection people. We are people who believe that Easter sets a tone for the rest of our lives. We're assured of salvation through Jesus Christ's death and resurrection. And that guarantee of faith is what we stand on as Christians. It's the very essence of what it means to be Christian. Christ reconciled us to God the Father, so we are called children of God. What I just stated is huge, but I think sometimes we get a little bit overwhelmed and we forget that we are children of God. We forget that we have a very important role to play in this world, that it's not just about salvation and someday being with God in His very presence when we leave this world, but there's something for us to do in the in-between of when Christ first came and when He will return again in glory. But what is that? Have you ever thought about it? What is your real purpose in God's kingdom? What does it mean to be a child of the living God? There must be something else, an additional purpose for us as God's people. If we were just banking on our salvation, why wouldn't God take us out of this world at the time of our conversion and take us to be with Him? I believe it stems around two of the most important things that I think Jesus said when He was on this earth. One is the greatest command, and the other is the Great Commission. The greatest command says we are to love God with our whole heart, our mind, our soul, our whole being, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. And the Great Commission says that we are to go out and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey the commands that Jesus gave us. Now, I don't know about you, but when it comes to loving God, I'm okay. I can do that pretty well. And most times, I can love my neighbor. I don't always like them, but I can love my neighbor most times. But it's that making disciples thing that's a little bit more difficult, I think. We just don't know how to do it, or we don't necessarily take that command as part of our responsibility from Christ. But we're all called, whether we're in professional ministry or not, to make sure that our lives are living examples of the God we follow. We're supposed to emulate Him and reflect His glory to the world. We are called to fulfill that through our faith, that our original intent was being made in the image of God, the image and likeness of God. That means that we're not only supposed to think like God and have a spirit like God, but we're supposed to work like God. Continuing to create, continuing to bring things into the right way, continuing to bring people into relationship with God the Father. We're supposed to use our gifts and talents, not only as individuals, but as the whole church, to do things to restore the creation to what it was supposed to be. So if you would, I'd love for us to read together the scripture that I've picked out for this morning. It comes from the book of Colossians, chapter 3, verses 1 through 5 and 9 through 15. Jesus says, or I should say Paul says, "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are of earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its Creator. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgive each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so that you also must forgive. Above all these things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body." And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Gracious God, you have given us so many commands, but the most important command is to love God and to love one another. Sometimes we take those commands quite easily and don't do what we're called to do. But today, Lord, as your image bearers, inspire us to be people who step out in faith to serve you, who step out in faith to have our lives reflect your glory. Let all that we do and all that we are be a living sacrifice to you. Because Jesus gave of himself, we too give of ourselves to this world for you. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. I always find it amazing when people look at their children and say they see attributes of their children, of their parents and their children. See, for me, when I was younger, I was an adopted child, and so I didn't often get that comment. No one quite saw the attributes of my parents in me. My mother is about 5'2", blonde, and very petite. If she hit a size 4 ever in her life, that would have been overweight for her. And I have dark hair, dark eyes, and shall we say, a more athletic build. My mother believed in hard work and sensible things, no nonsense. And so my creativity or my ideas to do something creative were sometimes shut down and just be happy with what you have. I love my mother, don't get me wrong. But we definitely were different people. It wasn't until I had 3 daughters of my own that it started to make sense when people saw the reflection of my children in me. Often I would take pride in comments along the lines of, oh, she looks just like you, or she has your sense of humor, which I didn't know if it was a compliment or not. But it seems that even in that, I took pride in knowing that something about me was reflected through them. Whether it was a good reflection or not, my daughters were stuck with knowing that I was their mother, and people, when they saw them, could see that they belonged to me. So when I had my children years back, it started to make me ponder the question of, was I reflecting God's glory if I truly was a child of God, if I was to have the same attributes as God? Was I reflecting him to the world in a positive way, or was I reflecting materialism and the things of this world when I encounter people on my daily arrivals, on my daily life? When I was falling into the idea of this, I came along this theology, and I passed it by Alan this morning in the early service, and he didn't kick me out of the church, so let's hope that it still goes along well. It's not a theology that necessarily is one that you'll find in scripture or even in any theological journals, but it's kind of my own idea on how our lives are made. My thought is that in the very beginning, when God created people in his image, in our image, in the three triad God, the triune God, God placed inside each one of us this hole. And I don't mean a bad hole. It was a hole that he wanted to be filled with him. So in the garden, when Adam and Eve were walking with God and they were in daily relationship, that hole, that God-shaped hole, was filled with that relationship with God. They walked together and they talked together and they spent time together. And Adam and Eve were authentically who they were created to be. Well, as we know, the story goes on and sin enters the world. And unfortunately, God gave us that free will that sometimes gets us in trouble, if you know what I mean. And we fill that God-shaped hole with things that aren't always beneficial to us. And so ensues things like addictions and failed relationships and greed and power and sickness and all the things that God never intended for us to have to live through. But sometimes we try to fill that hole, that God-shaped hole, with good things too. Education, family, work, all the things that make us who we are. And that's what we try to fill it with as well. And I'm not saying that those things aren't good, but if we try to fill the hole that God put in our heart for him with anything but him, we are living inauthentically. We were truly created to be in relationship with God our Father, to share intimacy with him. We don't have a God who's far out there running the world as an abstract thing or as a puppeteer trying to move our legs and our hands and feet. No, rather, we have a God who loves us so much that he wants to be in an intimate relationship with us. He wants to be the lover of our souls. And so we, as humanity, can only be authentically who we are created to be in connection with Him and in connection with one another. We are the crowning jewel of creation, the creation story tells us, and we are to seek out relationship with God above all other things. But the difficulty with this idea of filling this God-shaped hole with God and having that intimate relationship with God is it takes time and effort. Any relationship does. Think about your own relationship with your spouse or with your children. You have to work at it. It's not something that just happens. So you have to put effort into it. And really, we have to put effort into our relationship with God. That should be the priority on the top of our list. Working towards a relationship with God, deepening our spiritual life each and every day. But unfortunately, we get busy or we get involved in other things, and often God ends on the bottom of the list. It's not a priority to work on our souls. This wasn't the case at all in the early church. If you think about it, the early church in the book of Acts went out and bore God's image throughout the world. Everything they did was based on their relationship with Christ. They were reflectors of God throughout the whole entire world, and they were doing what they were supposed to do on a daily basis. St. Francis of Assisi says, "I preach the gospel and sometimes I use words." And that's truly what the early church was doing. They were reflecting God in all of their interactions. And I wonder if we as individuals and as a collective body, as the church did this, what do you think we would be able to accomplish? Do you think that God's name would be spread through the ends of the earth? Do you think that God would get good PR? I bet he would. In fact, our scripture this morning says, as new creations in God, we're supposed to choose things that are godly over things that are worldly. We're supposed to choose to be compassionate and humble, meek and patient, to bear one another's burdens, and to not complain but forgive. Can you imagine what we would look like if we did that every day of our lives? I wonder if you've ever taken the time to ponder what it means to be God's reflection in the world, to be God's glory, to serve as His hands and feet. Have you ever taken on the responsibility of being a transformation agent, bringing God's kingdom to come like it says in the scriptures and like it says in the prayer we pray every week, Our Father, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven? I was blessed to be able to study in seminary under a professor that changed my life profoundly. His name is Richard Middleton. And he was the first one that helped me to ponder this idea of being an image bearer in the world. He says that the idea of being made in God's image doesn't just encompass our intellect or our spirit, but it actually makes us gives us a functional dynamic, something we're supposed to do. In his book entitled The Liberation Image, Middleton speaks of God's purpose in creating humankind, man and woman, as being God's representatives and agents in the world, sharing the role of creation, continuing on creation. You see, in the ancient societies, what used to happen, the pagan gods' little statues were placed in the farthest, most remote places of the kingdom so that everyone, even at the farthest ends, would be reminded of God and take the time to pray to that deity. Unlike little statues, though, God has placed us, His image bearers, in the world. And we are supposed to go into those remote places and bear His image. But we're also supposed to bear His image in our own circles of influence each and every day. We're supposed to live out our faith, emulating God and shining His light into the world. We are reflections of our Heavenly Father through the saving grace of Christ, empowered by the Holy Spirit. We are disciples who are called to make other disciples, not only reflecting God in our personal walks, but also reflecting God through our body, the church. And that's the Great Commission. The church is to take up the task of being conformed into the image and likeness of God, and to restore fellowship with God as it was in the beginning, to love, to care, to serve, to love and care for one another, as well as love and care for God, the great commandment. But we won't succeed at either of these tasks, of making disciples or of loving God and one another, unless we make God a priority, unless he is at the top of our list of things to be close to. This means we can't sit idly by and hope that something about God rubs off on us. We can't hope that maybe someday when we need God, he'll be there. I didn't say this in the earlier services, but I have a sermon about how we want to put a coin into a soda machine, push a button, and automatically have our prayer answered. But if we don't know God, if we don't know him personally, if we don't have a spiritual depth, then what happens when we go through those times of trial? What happens when we're facing disappointments that we can't figure out? Where do we turn? It's only when we have intimacy with God, when we know him personally, that we get the peace that passes understanding, and we understand that God is with us no matter what. We must, if we are truly Christian, be participants in God's kingdom to come. N.T. Wright, another one of my favorite authors and a theologian, says it this way in his book, What Christians Believe and Why. He tells a story about a rugby player who has been quite good at his profession, has made a great living as being a professional rugby player, and now he goes to different coaches and young players to try to encourage them to become better players. And he says to the coaches, rather than go by the rule book, because that's what's happening now. All these players are learning plays. They're learning rules. Well, we'll throw out a play, and then you just do exactly what is said to be done. This rugby player says, what needs to happen is the kids need to go back to the fundamentals. They need to learn the basics. So when they're on the field and they're in a play and the play doesn't work, rather than give up and throw up their hands, they have an innate sense of what to do. They're prepared even when there's not something in place and not a play to play. They, like a sixth sense, know what to do. And that's what I think it is with those of us who claim Christ. We go back to the basics. We go back to knowing and loving God and loving one another. And through that, we know what to do when we're faced with the adversity. We don't have to get all churchy and say that we have to know all the things that are required and all of the laws and the commandments. But we do need to know who God is on a personal level so that when we face the hardship and the adversity that comes our way, we don't falter in our faith. I'm blessed to also have an opportunity to be a chaplain up at St. Joseph's Hospital, and I can tell you within two sentences into a conversation with a patient whether or not they have faith. Faithful people who are facing adversity shine God's light through their lives. And even in their dire straits, in their times of trouble, when they're in a hospital bed facing unknown challenges, they can still praise God because they know who God is. God's glory is shown through them, and they are his image bearers in the world. And that's truly what we all are called to be as well. So in the light of the resurrection, we know we have salvation. But if salvation was just a one-way ticket to heaven, then we see it as a far shorter or far smaller thing than it actually is. But if we take up the task, living in the in-between, between Christ's resurrection and his future coming, and take up the task of being his image bearers in the world, then we serve the Most High God in the way that we were created to do, loving him, loving others, and making disciples. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we come before you humbled that you would call us children, that you would have us as your image bearers in the world. And yet that's what you've called us to be. Help us today and always to reflect your image, especially into the dark places. Help us to be beacons of light where there seems to be no light. Help us to use our hands and feet as your transformation agents in this world, changing things to your will rather than our will. We thank you for the great gifts you've given us today and always. And we are assured in faithfulness that you will be our God through good times and through bad. Help us in all ways to really truly be the people you've called us to be. and to fill that God-shaped hole with you rather than the things of this world. We pray all this in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.